This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Coming up during today's show, we'll learn more about a local campaign to help pregnant women stop smoking and reduce our area's infant mortality rate. But first, maternal depression affects up to 45% of all pregnant, postpartum, and parenting women in home visiting programs. Cincinnati's Every Child Succeeds scientific director, Dr. Robert Ammerman, has developed and deployed the Moving Beyond Depression Treatment Program to help reverse the downward spiral that results from clinical maternal depression. And with us today from the Children's Hospital Medical Center to discuss treating maternal depression are Dr. Judy Van Ginkle, Professor of Pediatrics and President of Every Child Succeeds, Amy Bodley, Every Child Succeeds Clinical Counselor, and Pediatric Psychologist Dr. Robert Ammerman, who is Scientific Director of Every Child Succeeds. And you can join our conversation at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Judy, Robert, and Amy, thank you for being here this afternoon. Judy, give us an overview of the work that Every Child Succeeds is doing.
Every Child Succeeds is a program that was developed in this area 16 years ago by Cincinnati Children's, the United Way of Greater Cincinnati, and the Community Action Agency, to serve the needs of at-risk mothers and their young babies. We operate in Northern Kentucky and three counties in Ohio. These at-risk mothers are visited by a home visitor. These mothers are typically young, poor, and in need of services that a home visitor can provide. We've made close to 500,000 home visits since we started, and we've seen about 24,000 families. Unique for Every Child Succeeds, I think, is our good public-private partnership, meaning we use public as well as private dollars. And we do a lot of research connected to what we do so that we can operate our program better and validate outcomes for families.
So what are some of the issues that you're covering through this program? I mean, we know maternal depression is one of them. What are some of the other things you deal with?
Our mothers typically enroll with us when they are pregnant. Mm-hmm. So there are all the issues around a healthy birth experience. And then the families can stay with us until the child is 3 years old, meaning we do a lot of work around child development, literacy, bonding. And of course, one of the things we learned early on is that if every child is going to succeed, every mother needs to succeed. And this was one of the things that led us into the work around maternal depression, as we recognized early on that a significant fraction of our mothers were clinically depressed. So the question then becomes, what do you do about this? Because there's an effect not only on the mother, but also on the child. Mm-hmm. And at that point, Dr. Ammerman began to look into what some of the possibilities were. And that then led into what we now know as Moving Beyond Depression and the program we're here to talk about today.
Robert, tell us, what is maternal depression?
Well, when we speak of maternal depression, we're talking about depression that occurs in mothers. We have a particular focus on depression that occurs in moms when they're pregnant and in the first few years after the birth of the child, because that's the population that works with us and that we enroll in our home visiting program. But when depression strikes, there are a set of symptoms that moms experience that can be very challenging, very overwhelming, and prevent moms from being the kinds of parents that they want to be and in achieving their own goals. So these are symptoms like sadness, anxiety, changes in sleep and eating, feeling worthless, having thoughts about harming yourself. All of these symptoms conspire to make it difficult for moms during the time in which they're experiencing the episode.
And this can occur prenatal, postpartum. There are different times that this can happen.
It can occur anytime through pregnancy and beyond, and of course even before that, before moms become parents.
Amy, how common is maternal depression?
It's very common. I mean, all of the mothers that I'm seeing have major depressive disorder. So they're all being treated for that. And we treat them with this in-home cognitive behavioral therapy, this approach that we have developed specifically aimed to reduce those symptoms that they're experiencing.
And to be clear, if we talk about baby blues, and that's not the same thing, though. That's not postpartum depression, is it?
That is not the same thing. Baby blues are very common, in fact, affecting up to 85% of new mothers. It emerges within a week or so after birth, and it's transient. It does go away, so it's not something we necessarily treat, even though we monitor it. Otherwise, in terms of statistics, about one in three women will experience a major depressive episode at some point in their lives. About 13% of women will have major depression after the birth of a child. In for the moms who join our program, many of them are experiencing a number of stressors and are socially disconnected from resources and support, the kind that they need. And as a result, the rates are much higher, up to 50%.
Now, one of the reasons why we developed this in-home treatment was that as we recognized that this was a significant problem among our population, and that could certainly be extrapolated to the population at large, you begin to think about, once you identify this problem, what do you do to try to correct it? And as we looked within the community, and this is certainly true of communities across the country, there are just not the mental health resources that are available for these women. And assuming even if the resources were there, in the condition that they are in when we identify them, they probably couldn't get themselves to an appointment, say, every week or on some regular basis. We also think that there's strength in delivering this therapy in conjunction with the home visitor, because the center of the Every Child Succeeds program is the relationship that develops between the home visitor and the mother. That's really what allows our program to be so effective. And if you can link that with the kind of work that Amy does, these mothers do extraordinarily well. And it's that combination that seems to be what works.
So the in-home treatment, you find it to be more effective then?
Yes, absolutely. Yes, indeed. I mean, that was what Dr. Ammerman designed, and it works really well. And other states are now using this. We have begun to disseminate this intervention that we have. Eight other states have taken this on, not whole states, but communities and programs within states, because it is working so well. We have tested this with random trials, with national funding, to make sure that what we are saying is not just something that's an artifact that you can't replicate. This can be replicated and used in many places, and we're doing that now.
You say eight other states, Judy?
Yes.
What are the other states?
Massachusetts, Connecticut, Kentucky, California, West Virginia, South Carolina, Tennessee,
Pennsylvania, and Kansas.
Kansas. And we actually have a group of 12 people coming next week to Cincinnati to be trained to actually be able to deploy this in their home location.
Robert, how does a mother or her partner or relatives, how do they recognize when things might just be more than an ordinary case of the baby blues and something more needs to be done?
Yes. Well, it's both the number of symptoms and the severity of the symptoms and the persistence of the symptoms that distinguishes being in an episode of major depression versus the kinds of sort of transient experiences that many people have. So when you can't shake it, when it doesn't go away, and when it's really interfering in your ability to do the things you need to do and want to do, we saw a real opportunity when we first recognized how many moms in our program were suffering from depression. We saw an opportunity to reach moms who were struggling to get treatment in their communities, but we also saw an opportunity to identify and bring help and support to those moms at a point early in their experience with the condition. For many people with mental health problems, they don't get treatment until things get very bad. And if we could get there earlier, we could be more successful, and we could also help prevent moms from reaching a point where they need more intensive kind of treatment. So we saw an opportunity to provide treatment in the home so that we could reach people who struggled to get to community services. We saw a wonderful opportunity to work alongside the home visitors and to really take advantage of the good, close relationship they have with moms, and to sort of do two things at once, and as a result, make both better, both for the mom and for the child and for the program.
And Amy, when you're working with these mothers, how serious an issue is this for the mothers and for their children?
The depression?
Yes.
Oh, I mean, extremely serious, as it impacts their ability to parent their child in the way that they want to parent them. So, you know, I was thinking as Bob was talking about the depression, that, you know, you mentioned, how do people recognize this? Mm-hmm. What makes it so unique for us is the home visitor is there. It's often hard to recognize on your own, or a family member to recognize it on their own. So by the home visitor being in there, they're screening them initially, and that's how we are able to get in and then deliver the service to them to help them. If that home visitor weren't there, the depression may go undetected for quite a long time, and then the symptoms, you know, worsening, and the effects longer occurring.
And it has
for
long-term
them.
Consequences, doesn't it?
Correct.
Yes.
Correct.
Well, and the whole situation has long-term consequences for the child. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of work being done now in something called toxicity in early childhood. Having a depressed parent certainly constitutes toxicity in early childhood. And what we're beginning to find is that there are long-term health effects, that it's not that this just happens and goes away. So it's a much more pervasive problem, I think, than we had recognized heretofore.
We'll continue our conversation about moving beyond depression, and you can join us at 513-419-7100. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. My guests this afternoon are Dr. Judy Van Ginkle, professor of pediatrics and the president of Every Child Succeeds, Amy Bodley, Every Child Succeeds clinical counselor, and pediatric psychologist Dr. Robert Ammerman, scientific director for Every Child Succeeds. You can join us at 513-419-7100. Email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. Bob, you had something you wanted to add in there.
Yes, I wanted to note that all of the moms in our program join Every Child Succeeds because they want to be the best possible parents that they could be, and they want the best for their children. And depression is something that really holds them back and makes it very difficult for them to realize that aspiration. So one of our goals is to bring moms back to normal mental health so that they have the energy, they have the ability to do the things that they need to do and want to do to move their lives ahead. One of the things we found in our research on moving beyond depression is that a number of the moms, either during treatment or shortly after, make big changes in their lives. They go back to school. They get a job. They move to a place that's better for them and their child. And those are some of the most gratifying outcomes that we see as a result of our program.
And Amy, I think it's important for people to realize that when we talk about depression, it's not just that you're down in the dumps, or it's not just a mood. This affects you mentally, physically, in so many different ways, doesn't it?
Right. And these moms view their lives, the world, even the future, is very hopeless. And oftentimes that they feel they don't have a lot of control over their life. So my goal with every mom is to teach them skills so they learn to gain control again, mastery over their life, and reach these goals that they have set for themselves and for their children.
And when you're talking about teaching skills, is that what is behind cognitive behavioral therapy, which is what you're using in this case?
Yeah, cognitive behavioral therapy is one of the evidence-based treatments for depression. And it focuses on the importance of how you think about yourself and others and the world, and how that influences your mood and behavior. So it is a type of treatment that's very focused on the here and now, and designed to gain a deeper understanding of how thoughts, feelings, and behaviors are connected, and to work to change those things. Now, what we did in moving beyond depression is we took that treatment and we crafted it and adapted it specifically for this kind of program and this kind of population of moms. We changed it in ways so that it could be offered in the home setting, which is not always an easy place to do a mental health treatment. But if we're going to reach the people we want to reach, we need to know how to do that. We figured out ways to bring the home visitor into the process so that there was a collaboration and a close working relationship. And we also made sure that the treatment focused on the kinds of issues that new mothers face, so that the content of what we're doing is relevant and makes the treatment more likely to be effective.
Judy, we talked about how this affects the mother and child, but there are a lot of societal consequences to maternal depression, aren't there?
There certainly are, and in addition to the effects that we have discussed, there's an economic impact that is significant. And this isn't just for the mother herself or her own family. It affects all of us. There's a very interesting study that was done in Massachusetts that looked at, for example, the money spent on home visiting programs. And in Ohio, that's somewhere in the neighborhood of $34 million a year. Well, what this study found is that if the mother was depressed in the ways that have been described here, that money is not spent well because she can't take advantage of what a home visiting program brings to her. And that's just one example of how treating the depression allows the mother to do better, the child to do better. That works better for all of us, because then we end up with a family that is a good participant in our community and able to take advantage of what is available. So although the economic cost is certainly not the first thing we think about, it's certainly something that we need to be cognizant of as we think about this. A question that might arise is, what happens for mothers who aren't in the Every Child Succeeds home visiting program, who are depressed? And we recognize that's an issue and have begun to think of places and ways in which this therapy could be delivered differently. And there is one example of that is a program that Dr. James Greenberg from Cincinnati Children's has in Price Hill called Cradle Connections. It's beyond Price Hill, several communities, where we're actually going to try this and see if there are ways in which it could be expanded beyond the home visiting model.
513-419-7100 to join the conversation, and let's talk with Laura in Finneytown. Hi, Laura.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes, hello.
You're on, Laura.
Hello.
How are you today?
Good. I was calling to make a comment. We just touched on it about families who are not in the Every Child Succeeds program. When I had my child about 14 years ago, I told my pediatrician that I was feeling depressed and all. She asked if the child was safe, but then dropped it from there. Didn't do anything, didn't question me at all, didn't offer any help. And then I went to a psychiatrist office, and basically she said, well, everybody feels that way. You'll get over it in a couple of weeks. So what ended up happening is we ended up, because we're in a situation where we have the ability to do so, we were able to get somebody to come in, but we had to get somebody to come in to care for my child because I didn't feel that I was able to care for him. I just wasn't able to do it. Mm. So that went on for about a year before I actually got some help. But there are people who do fall through the cracks like that, and I think that more information from psychiatrists, pediatricians, doctors, hospitals before the patient even leaves would be helpful in follow-up.
Thank you, Laura. We appreciate the call.
Yeah, and thank you for sharing your story, because I think it's very important. I can say that there has been a real advances in the last 10 years in the recognition in the medical community and in various organizations that work with new mothers about the importance of recognizing depression in moms and doing something about it. So the good news is that is very much moving ahead, and I think our work is a reflection of that. Having said that, there is a lot more work that needs to be done. We need to do a better job of identifying moms who need help. We need to do a better job of listening to moms who are suffering from depression, and we need to do a better job of getting people into effective treatment or connected to the resources and supports that they need to get better.
Robert, what kind of outcomes have you seen so far with moving beyond depression?
Well, we conducted a clinical trial funded by the National Institute of Mental Health. We felt it was important to put this treatment to the test and to see if it was making the kinds of improvements that we had observed when we first started to pilot this. And in a clinical trial, we found that the moms who received the treatment, all of whom began our program with a diagnosis of major depressive disorder, at the end, 70% no longer met criteria for the condition. And then we followed them up again 3 months later, and that percentage went up to 80%. Those were terrific kinds of outcomes and ones that very much align with other effective treatments for depression. We also found that moms were much better able to take advantage and utilize the social supports in their world. They were better able to perform their sort of daily tasks and responsibilities and parenting and their relationships, family, work, school, that just in general, sort of overall distress and their ability to cope was very much improved.
So, Judy, you've seen success in this program so far, and I guess the next step is to expand it and make it more available.
That's what the dissemination program is all about, is making this available more broadly nationwide. But also, as I said, and we think this is equally important, is how can we deliver this effective intervention in a different way so that we can serve more people? I think one of the things Bob mentioned that I think is very important to keep in mind is that there is now recognition that maternal depression is a very mm-hmm. serious condition. And this is not baby blues that you will just get over. And I was struck with the caller named Laura said, because that certainly was typical, you know, 14, 15, 20 years ago, and you were just sort of told, well, it's just part of what's going on, so just get on with your life.
Yeah, you'll get
and
over
that's,
it.
And that's not
yeah,
true.
Yeah. Well, thanks, everybody, for joining us this afternoon.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Dr. Judy Van Ginkle is professor of pediatrics and president of Every Child Succeeds. Amy Bodley, Every Child Succeeds clinical counselor, and pediatric psychologist Dr. Robert Ammerman, scientific director of Every Child Succeeds. Next, we'll learn more about a local organization's campaign to help pregnant women stop smoking and reduce our area's infant mortality rate. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.